As we covered through the Christmas season, the Christmas story, I suppose from God's perspective, that the Father gave, that Jesus came, and this morning that the Holy Spirit stays. I was thinking this morning about the spirit of Christmas. But a lot of times when we think of the Spirit, we think of harmony and peace and joy and happiness and all of these nice feelings that we get at Christmas time or we're supposed to have at Christmas time. But the real Spirit of Christmas is the Holy Spirit. He is the Christmas Spirit. And long before the birth of Jesus, I was trying to think, how would you tie this in? And Jeep asked me last night, what are you preaching? I said, the spirit of Christmas. He said, well, that's Pentecost. That's for not another 2 or 3 months. And I said, well, I don't, go by the liturgical calendar or anything. So we can talk about the Holy Spirit anytime. And we should. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But long before the birth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit had predicted that very birth. Throughout the whole Old Testament, one of the apologetics to prove the reality of Christ and that he actually lived, that is looking through those Old Testament passages to find where did it start talking, where did the Bible start to talk about Jesus. Peter wrote, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture. And remember the scripture that he had at that time was the Old Testament. No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. How did they get that message? It was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was revealed to them. And it started way back when, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Moses wrote, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. A prophecy that Jesus was coming. How was he going to get here? Well, we'll cover that in a minute. Some of the other prophecies. Moses went on in Numbers to say, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crash through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Sheath. It was interesting to me, Mary in a club last week, was putting on the pageant with the kids getting all dressed up in shepherd's outfits and wise men and Mary and Joseph and all. And then about halfway through, Aiden says, well, I have something to share. And so she said, come on up and share. And so he came up and started to tell about how all these stars were aligned to make the Bethlehem star and things I'd never heard of before, but maybe some of you have. But Moses talked about that star in the book, way back in Numbers. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah wrote, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. 7:14 in the book of Isaiah. That he would come and he would be God with us. Isaiah predicted or told us about 700 years before Jesus, the virgin birth. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Samuel recorded God's promise to David. He said, even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will rise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now you look at that passage and you see that mountain effect of prophecy, that some of those things that were predicted would be for Solomon. He will build a house where you'll worship. That was done in Solomon's time. But the eternal kingdom could not have been Solomon, because Solomon, we know, died. And Jesus, after his resurrection, will live forever, and his kingdom will be an eternal kingdom. And that kingdom God will set up. So Samuel is looking ahead, past Solomon, to see Jesus. As you look at mountain peaks in a distance, and you can see the taller peaks behind the lower peaks, you can see Solomon, but then you can see in a distance, you can see Jesus. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. Again, the Spirit's part in this. The prophet Jeremiah wrote, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth. And he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. And this is the name by which she will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." So the Lord predicted a righteous branch from David, from Jacob, through the prophet Jeremiah. And finally, this is not a complete list, but just a few of the high peaks. Finally, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Micah wrote of Jesus' birthplace. He said, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." You see, the birth of Jesus was a well-planned event where the Father gave his only begotten Son. And God the Son became a Son of Man so that we might become the sons and daughters of God. And the Holy Spirit continues to dwell in us. We know this because the Old Testament is filled with prophecies inspired by the Holy Spirit about the birth and the coming of Jesus. But not only was the Holy Spirit deeply involved in all of those Old Testament prophecies, he was also involved in the greatest transformation of all time. He was the means by which the Son of God became a Son of Man. Just so interesting. The way the Bible's written, Matthew comes before Luke, but the events that happened in Luke come before Matthew, or some of them do. So you need to go back and forth between both. I found it interesting when I was reading over that passage from Matthew chapter 1 again. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Just a simple fact. Just kind of throw it out there. She was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I think it demands an explanation. But an explanation wasn't really given. How do these things happen? It's even recorded, the virgin birth is even recorded in the Quran, where it talks about a number of things about Jesus. They simply can't deny his existence. And they don't even deny his virgin birth, because it's such an established fact. As a matter of factly, the Bible just says she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we can see that easily happening to us because we've perhaps seen it on a daily basis. You know, you look at those clips from Billy Graham and you see people's testimonies. We run into Christians all the times whose lives are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this was different. How do you get an omnipresent God into the womb of a woman? How does that happen? Is that not the greatest transformation that could ever take place? And certainly demonstrates the power of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to follow along, I'm just going to read from Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Holy Spirit was the primary facilitator of the conception of Jesus Christ. We see it also in Matthew chapter 1 when Joseph found out about it. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So three times, two times in Matthew, one time in Luke, the facilitator of the conception of Jesus is named as the Holy Spirit. Once, just kind of off the cuff, that she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit, and then the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, and then the angel coming to Joseph to reaffirm it again. So three times it was affirmed to be the doing of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to come back to Luke again in a few minutes. So if the Holy Spirit can take the Son of God and make him a son of man, then the Holy Spirit can take a son or daughter of man and make him or her a son or daughter of God. It's a demonstration of God's omnipotence, that God is able to do anything and everything he desires to do. He can take our lives and transform them, and that's what he wanted to do, starting with Jesus. Transformed from the Son of God to a Son of Man. So we read in John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" So remember what it says, the Bible says about Jesus. God sent His only begotten Son. The theological terminology is that He is eternally begotten, that He comes forth eternally from the Father, that they are one in essence and both very much God. Jesus, when He was born of Mary, it could be said that He was born again. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is the facilitator of our new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born of water and the Spirit," the natural birth and the spiritual birth. Nicodemus said to Him, "That needs a bit more explanation. Does it sound familiar?" Close to what Mary said. How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, natural and spiritual birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Isn't wind powerful? We prayed for those families down in Texas, and we see the demonstration of the power of the wind. Is it El Niño or El Niño that is sending all this warm weather to us? There's power in the wind. And there is power in the Spirit. You can't see how it happens. You can't see Him, but you can certainly see the effects of His presence on a willing life. Paul would say in Romans 8, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we also may be glorified with Him." So from the beginning to the end, it's the work of the Spirit in transforming from our rebirth to our glorification. The Spirit is to be working. Where John would say, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." We need to be in the Spirit every day so that He can transform our lives. The Bible says we were born not of blood, nor of the will of man or of the flesh, but of God. It's His work in us. We're not saved because we do the works of salvation. We do the works of salvation because we're saved and we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul would write to the Galatians and say, "You foolish Galatians." Do you ever feel foolish? Sometimes I feel a little foolish. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" Retrace back to Mary again in Luke. "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And then fast forward to Nicodemus. How can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? By the power of the Spirit. How can we live these Christian lives that God wants us to live? In the midst of all of our struggles, in the midst of all of our sorrows, in the midst of all of our temptations, unmet expectations, how can we live the Christian life? I believe it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the angel said to her again. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Will the Holy Spirit not come upon us? And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You ever feel like that's what you need in your life? The power, Lord, just overshadow me with your presence. Let me feel your presence moment by moment in my life. Come walk with me. Be present with me. Step by step. Moment. Guide me, as Paul would say in Romans 8. He leads us when we're his children. And for that reason, he said to Mary, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Is that our desire today? To be called a son or a daughter of God? It certainly is. How does that come to pass? How do we realize that in our lives? Verse 38 of the same chapter. After the angel said, for nothing will be impossible with God, Mary responds. And I think sometimes God is just waiting for our response. He wants us to be like Mary. She said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. It's such a simple prayer, isn't it? Here I am, the bond slave of the Lord. We've come to him, haven't we? He's our Savior. He's our Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. What a beautiful response that is to the Christmas season and the Christmas story. The Holy Spirit brings us to that place where we can just say, I'm in. Count me in. I'm your servant. And whatever the work is that you want to do in my life, you don't have to meet my expectations. Just be with me. Just make me the person that you want me to be. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And I'm just going to give you a moment to pray that prayer of Mary. Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would continue to reveal to us through your word the transformation that you would have in our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit. Change us, Lord. Make us willing as Mary was willing. And help us, Father, to bear witness of all you can be in us and through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, Father, we come and we ask that you would indeed transform our lives, change us for your honor and glory, that we might be the people that you want us to be. We humbly bow and yield ourselves again to you in Jesus' name. Amen.